Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Binghamton Throat Punch. 60 minutes of pro wrestling talk and unnecessary nothingness with your hosts, Ian Daddy Bones and Scott Fineout on ThreeRopes.com.
All right, it is Monday morning. Welcome to the Binghamton Throat Punch. My name is Ian Daddy Bones.
Why are you yelling? Monday, man. Calm it down.
Hey, most people don't like Mondays. I'm trying to approach it and grab it by the throat.
Scott Fine out here trying to talk to this guy. Already yelling at me.
Well, how was your weekend?
Man, my weekend was awesome. I got to be honest with you. For two reasons. One, watched Deadpool for the second time. First one time with my girlfriend.
Now, when did you see it the first time?
I ripped it offline. I seen it like last week. I was a late bloomer, but then my girlfriend's like, well, I haven't seen it, so we watched that. And also by her recommendation, we watched The Wrestler, which was awesome. I thought it was awesome. I mean, I've obviously seen this movie.
Okay,
but
I was just like,
never once. Which I wish I wouldn't have, because the first time I seen that thing was awesome. Wow, like a great movie. You know, you're just watching it, and like it's always good when you know in the middle of the movie that it's going to be one of your favorite movies, mm-hmm. and you still haven't watched it like all through yet.
Right.
And that's a good feeling. But how was your weekend?
My weekend was meh.
Man.
I felt great, but my wife wasn't feeling too hot this weekend.
Got the bug going around.
My son wasn't feeling so hot this weekend. He actually stayed home from school today, so he's not feeling so hot.
Mallow cup?
I would love a mallow cup.
Do you know anybody that eats these things? Like, I always see them.
I know you and me do.
So we always go to
that's
the
at least two people.
We always go to the gas station before. And also, oh, by the way, I was at Quality Markets this weekend.
Yeah.
And seen the Faygo cotton candy.
Who served you? Was it the guy with no thumb?
It was the girl. It was, I guess, his wife, right?
Oh, okay.
Because it's like the guy and the wife, right? So, an amazing deal on Dutch's at the Quality Market. But that's besides the point. So, I went and got these Mallow cups because, like, I know I eat them, but a lot of my girlfriend's like, I never see anybody eating those. They're just like sitting there. They must be there for like 5 years. I'm like, you know, I don't really know anybody that does eat the Mallow cups.
You know what I like? I believe that, what are they called? The Sky Bars.
Mm-hmm.
They're made by Necco. They got like the four different flavors on each.
That's another like one of those weird candies, right?
Yeah, definitely. But my wife was under the weather. My son was under the weather. My daughter was claiming to be under the weather because my son was getting more attention than her.
Yeah, so it's cool to be cool, right? And they got
cool
to be sick.
but you know, other than that, it was a pretty good weekend. I basically stuck to myself. I tried to stay out of Germ Central. So I spent a lot of time with the PlayStation 4 versions of Vice City and San Andreas.
How are they? I've only played the PlayStation 3 ones. Have you played both?
Like the PS
graphics
like
and
the
stuff,
PS2.
The gameplay.
Okay, here's what's going on. When they put Vice City and San Andreas on PlayStation 3, all they gave you was the PS2 ports. They were just straight up PlayStation 2 games available on the PlayStation 3.
Okay.
The PlayStation 4 versions are ports of the same game, but graphics got upgraded slightly, textures got upgraded, everything presented in 720p as opposed to being blurry like it was on the PlayStation 2. Now, mind you, the graphics will always look like PlayStation 2, but, you know, now there's added trophies, there's achievements to unlock, but I do think that the owners of the Xbox One and the 360 actually get a true HD version of San Andreas.
Right.
So
okay.
We basically, PlayStation owners get the upgraded PlayStation 2 versions of the game with added trophy support this time. You know what I mean? But either way, the games are amazing.
They're
classics. I mean, going back to you know, Los Santos with San Andreas, going back to Vice City and Vice City. It's
going back to like GTA 3 on PlayStation 2.
And
remember that game? I was like, man, the game has changed.
Oh, I know.
I usually don't like to play those games. I'm more of a sports guy, as you know. You know, every NBA, NHL, anything. You know, and I remember a long time ago, you gave me like this Jordan poster of like NBA 2K, like probably at that point 10.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're the only one I know that plays these stupid sports games, right?
Wasn't it a box?
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of those giant GameStop boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the NBA 2K that had that Jordan career mode.
Yep, exactly. And that was like 2010, I think.
But the one thing about me, I mean, honestly, with San Andreas and Vice City, growing up in the 80s, to me, Vice City is the ultimate 80s mixtape as you play that game.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with San Andreas. It's like the ultimate hip hop.
I love the music selections that they got in there. Yeah, you know what else I like? What was the other one? It was just for Xbox. It wasn't Grand Theft Auto. It was kind of similar. Saints Row. Is that what it was?
Okay, Saints Row, the original Saints Row was exclusive to Xbox.
No, it came out.
But then once Saints Row 2 and forward came out, it's been cross-platform.
Okay, well, so how they handled the music was you bought, like, iTunes, like, games, you know? And that was awesome. Like, I think that, you know, as you progress, you can buy more I don't know, songs or whatever for the game. I think that was really cool. I wish that they would do that in Grand Theft Auto, but who can complain about the music in Grand Theft Auto? I mean, it's all a radio station. That's awesome. It's perfect.
Exactly. I mean, but Vice City, I mean, there's nothing more perfect than driving your Cadillac down the street while you're shooting somebody on the sidewalk while Michael Jackson's wannabe starting something and blasting in your car. It's amazing. But
on your way to bang a hooker and kill her.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And then get your money back.
Teach the kids a good world. You know, I always thought that Rockstar should make the WWE games because the career mode has been, I don't know where it stopped because I'm not a video game expert by any stretch, but at one point WWE games had like a story mode that was all creative. Like it was custom stuff. And then we went to the WrestleMania mode and the relive the Attitude Era mode. And I've already seen these stories play out. I thought it was really cool to have a unique storylines. And well, I think Grand Theft Auto and Rockstar Games in particular, I think they're two, you know, that's a company that you can really expect a really good story out of.
Well, WWE's career mode. I mean, they tried, you know, they tried introducing career modes in the SmackDown series, then the Raw versus SmackDown. They tried catering and tweaking the way career mode works. But eventually it was just rehashed storylines.
Terrible.
And just like, it was crap. But the thing is with the 2K games, you know, this year's career mode in particular is just amazing because it's not like you pick Randy Orton and go through a WWE career. You have to create your own wrestler. And that's the thing.
I know, and I don't like that either. Like, I mean, it should be an option.
But it's kind of cool, though, because it's like...
It's cool to have it as an option. What if I want to be friggin' Randy Orton? I don't know who would want to be, but Randy. But, you know, Bret Hart or something, like, give me, like, an old-school guy. Let me get into this new-school, you know, era, I guess, like... And let me play as Bret the Hitman Hart. Let me go against, you know, everybody, R-Truth and everybody else. It's a job around on the thing.
Because right now their focus is all on before they're superstars, they're NXT superstars.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
You're
right.
New
road going forward. So you already automatically start as an NXT rook having Matt Bloom coach you.
It's all different too, right? Because kayfabe has died. So now it's not about just winning the match. It's about like, well, did you get a good match? Was the crowd into it? I like that. That's cool.
Yes. That you basically have to try to get 5-star matches and whatnot, and everything you do, you know, could build up that meter, build up those levels. But you know, like, I mean, with me, before I had to get rid of it because I no longer have WWE 2K16 because my daughter broke my PlayStation 4. Natalia threw a fit and got pissed off that she didn't have TV time, so she slammed the Great Pumpkin Blu-ray into the DVD.
What have you learned?
I've learned that, and I need to put my PlayStation 4 up or put a lock on it.
Yeah,
I need to buy a club. Remember back in the day they had the club for handlebars?
That'd be awesome to have one for PlayStation.
I actually saw something back in the day. Somebody posted a picture on Facebook about a parental lock for the Nintendo. It actually locked in front of the Nintendo, so it was called the Homework First device.
The WWF sold a version of that where it would actually shoot green mist out of you, the Quang version. So awesome, man. There's a lot of things happening also in Binghamton Pro Wrestling. If you've been keeping up with 3ropes.com,
yes.
ECPW, and Excite Wrestling both making moves. ECPW, we're headed into Stand Up and Fight which is April 1st.
Yes.
And they have announced a couple editions.
Magic City Music Hall.
Yep. And you possibly be there?
I already said last week on the show,
I will
be there at Stand Up and Fight. I will be representing Three Ropes. So it looks like it's going to be a wonderful night.
Well, I got an announcement to drop.
Drop that announcement.
I will. I've foregone renewing my managerial license for ECPW.
Yeah.
So I won't be doing that anymore. I am taking over as the new ring announcer for ECPW. And also I'll be taking photos ringside. And maybe you will be as well. We just got a new camera over here at the studio, so it's really nice. So I'm going to be doing ring announcing and that kind of thing. Jim Holbert has assigned to be a manager now in ECPW as well. I don't know who he's going to be taking over yet. I know that he obviously does managing across the East Coast here, the Northeast, in other promotions. So good luck to him. He dropped something on Three Ropes. He'll be refereeing, should I say. So I guess we'll never get a winner because he doesn't know how to get to three. He will be refereeing the main event between Rob Cook and LDC for the ECPW Showcase Championship that night. So I'm taking over ring announcing duties. I'm really excited about it. You know, it was kind of a thing where at the end of the Three Ropes episode last week, me and Jim, you know, we talked. We have a post game coffee break or bakery break,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking about it. And we both mutually decided that. And it's one of those things where it's rare that to have two things. Like, it was a win-win-win. Like, I thought that it was good because he could be back there doing Three Ropes stuff and managing. You know, when he's not managing, he could be out there getting interviews for us. And I could be doing the pictures ringside. So it all worked out good. And I'm really happy to be in that new role. Thanks a lot for everybody that complimented me on the managing thing. I just never, I don't know. I always like to cover the action. I don't know.
You know, I'm just throwing it out there real quick. Little error. I mean, it was a lot of fun last week, me spitting over Bruce and Barber Beefcake's theme.
Oh.
But I got to tell you, in the playback, I couldn't hear the beat.
I know. It sucks. I try to figure out, like, I don't know what's going on over here. I'm trying to get Holbert's buddy, who's some kind of DJ, and he's not coming over yet. And so if anybody knows how the hell to work this shit, let me tell you, when I first started this thing, I had no idea. I went down to Guitar Center, and I was like, yeah, I want to do a podcast. They're like, all right. I'm like, I have nothing. So what's up? Let's figure it out. And the Guitar Center staff down there, Johnson City, helped me out a ton.
I'm not going to front, dude. In the entire time I've been doing the OGPC, you know how long I've been wanting to have like live playback and shit while I was doing the show. I can't figure it out either. I mean, there's
he gave me this cord. And he's like, wrap this thing around this and then do this and divide by 12.
Sir,
and I'm like,
don't strangle yourself with it.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm going to have no idea what the hell he's talking about, dude. So,
yeah, that's definitely one of those little podcast tricks with your hookups to try and get everything running smoothly.
Well, it's hard because like you can hear it like on our headphones, but you can't hear it when it goes out live, and I don't understand that either.
You know that second episode of the Edge of Christian show that totally reeks of awesomeness aired. I gave the second episode a shot. Definitely got to say the second episode was better than the first one.
Well, it had to be because the first one blew. I watched 10 minutes and Marielle was like, what the hell is this shit?
I got the perfect suggestion. I got the perfect suggestion though for Edge of Christian. They want to have a banging segment. They need to rip off South Park. You need to rip off the episode where Cartman has the little Jennifer Lopez hand. I'm like, that my kids tacos or whatever the hell it was. And what they need to do is they need to make a puppet hand of Rosa Mendez. So you could have a segment on the Edge of Christian show called Ask Rosa Mendez. That would be great.
Dude, some of the things that they did were, like, legitimately funny, and then some of them were just ridiculous.
I like the puppets.
Yeah, that was funny.
Like the puppet Triple H and the puppet Vince, that was great. But that whole Moa segment where they were, like, in Vince's office with that remote control and, like, the fake AC/DC showed up, that was, like,
what the hell is going on? Yeah, that's one of the major gripes I have about the New Day is that I don't really like forced humor, you know?
See, the New Day's grow it out of me like crazy.
No. It's forced humor. They want me to laugh so badly that they're just ready to, like, parade around in unicorn.
See, and to me, that's what makes it funny. Like there's something utterly creepy about Biggie Langston making that rape face while he's
WWE's selling dildos now. Like, they've gotten the dildo market. Like, did we hit every aspect now?
I wonder if that has actually happened. Is there a female WWE fan that has actually used her unicorn horn as a dildo?
Yes.
Probably.
There's not even a worry about it. I think on the third day, I think we've already had 300 cases of that. Let me fuck you like Kofi is.
Well,
I do gotta say though, Kofi's boots are kind of dope.
Oh, Kofi's gear has always been dope. I've loved Kofi ever since, and that's why
Did you ever notice some of his Easter eggs on his tights? Like, do you ever see your Skeletor gear?
No, really?
Or Ghostbuster gear?
I haven't looked that close. No, that's crazy. So he's just like Xavier, right? He's a comic book.
If you look back on like some of Kofi's gear, he had like this gear where it was like yellow tights, or it could have been blue tights with like the yellow Kofi heads on the knee pads.
Right.
And they were yellow sculpts, I believe. And then he had another one where it was like a tan colored tights, but it had a lot of white and red on it.
Okay.
And I think the Kofi heads on the knees had the no ghost thing. You know what I mean?
I know what you're talking about.
That red prohibited circle with a slash through it.
Yep. Kofi's a nerd.
Yeah, totally. I mean, so is Xavier. He's got up, down.
That's a coolest name for like a podcast. Dude.
Well, it's a throwback to the Konami code.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a cool deal. Like, I didn't know what specifically, but I knew it was like a cheat code or something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the news this week, we've been updating a lot. You would have had to have been Stevie Wonder mixed with Helen Keller.
And I got to apologize to you publicly.
Oh, thank you.
I know you dropped me a line asking me to get you some Mark House information, and with my son and wife being sick, I was just like not even thinking about it.
Oh, I went right to Mark House myself. And Mark was a professional. He's an awesome dude. Super nice to me because he said, well, you're helping me out. So why not? I'm like, all right, so I'll take it. We dropped Mark House his quest to get to what he rightfully believes is his. And Ian, I'm glad you're here on as the co-host because we can get your reaction to the top 10 where Mark House is number 5. Number 5? What?
Hey, I see what you're trying to do here.
Hey, come on.
Okay, but let's just be clear. Mark House is, well, wait, is he number 5 or is he number 6?
Well, that's the thing. The thing is, Excite said the champion's Matt Cross, so he doesn't count as 1. Okay, so in the Excite thing, he was 5. But that would have only made the top 9 because Excite had the 9 top contenders. So I just threw it at number 1, Matt Cross. So I guess he's number 6.
Well, I know Johnny was real proud that somebody took over to Twitter. So does whoever taking over to Twitter not know how to count or what the hell's going on?
I don't know who it was. I don't know who that was that took over the Twitter.
Well, all I know is, I see what you're trying to do here.
I'm not trying to do anything.
It doesn't matter where Mark House is on the list. Who did Mark House defeat in Binghamton at the last Excite show?
Axel Lennox.
Who is not on this list?
I know.
Here's
the top 10 if you missed it. The champion.
Who's not even on the card at the next show?
I see what you're trying to do here. The champion's Matt Cross. The first contender, Greg Excellent. It's already been announced that Greg Excellent will challenge Matt Cross for the Excite Championship in April.
Yes.
Sean Carr at 3. 4 is Rob Cook. 5 is Gregory Iron. 6 is Mark House. 7 is Alex Payne. 8 is Sozio. 9 and 10 belong to Anthony Gargone and TJ Marconi. And, What a top 10 this is, huh? Where's Nick Napoleon? Where's he? He ain't anywhere.
You're right. Nick Napoleon is
You're at a loss of words.
No,
I didn't even know how to respond to that.
It's not at a loss of words, but it's like this is what social media does. You know what I mean? They try to pin people in a corner and exclude others. So,
You blaming cyberbullying for his ranking? Is that what's going on right now?
I'm not blaming cyber anything. It's just cyber statistics. I mean, you know, where this is a top 10 list on another site, this could be a top 20 list. And I'm guaranteed that Nick Napoleon would appear in the top 20 list.
Well,
you know
of
what
course,
I mean?
But he just had a match with Rob Cook in a steel cage that was really good. Could have went both ways, to be honest with you. Rob Cook won that, but.
Exactly.
Napoleon falls.
And that's where wrestling politics comes into play. Because Nick Napoleon lost a cage match. He rightfully should have won. But He did lose the cage match, and we here at Disgruntled, you know, we do admit our losses. You know, Nick Napoleon did lose the cage match. Mark House did not properly lose the XA Heavyweight Championship. So therefore, Nick Napoleon is not on the list because he lost his match, as is Axel Lennox, who also lost his match. So it's really nothing to be upset about.
Well,
but I'll tell you what's something to get excited about.
Oh, that's a transition.
Is this epic match where, unlike other wrestling organizations that don't listen to their fans, Johnny Moose listens to the Excite fans. And ever since the last Excite show in Binghamton just a few weeks ago, when Chuck Taylor was brought into Excite Wrestling, all of the fans on social media immediately said, "Johnny, book it. Sean Carr versus Chuck Taylor. Come on, we got to see this match." And sure enough, the very first show announced in Binghamton, Sean Carr is taking on the Kentucky Gentleman, Chuck Taylor.
Well, PJ Harmer calling it very fittingly, Binghamton's King versus Kentucky's Gentleman. This match is going to be good. Good in the state of just technical wrestling. That's got to be very crisp and very, very solid. So that's going to be a good match. Announced also, there's also, I'm going through Johnny Moose's page
here.
There
we go. There's all the picks.
And we've got Matt Cross, as I just announced, Greg Excellent challenging Matt Cross. Matt Cross not at the last Excite show due to Lucha in LA. So he was there. He's going to come here, I should say, at Excite versus the World. Sammy Callahan and Joe Gacy was announced at the last show. We talked a little bit about
that.
Which
is kind of funny because while I was making my rounds in the back, you know, doing various duties for Excite Wrestling when I'm not managing my clients, you know, I actually missed that announcement. So when you're like, yeah, you know, last week Scott's like, yeah, Sammy Callahan's going to be taking on Joe Gacy. And I look at Scott and I'm like, literally,
I've seen that look.
I'm like, he is?
I was not sure if you were selling that or what was going on. Matt Tremont and DJ Hyde will have a street fight. Last time these two were in the ring, they were hitting each other's with chairs, having a jousting match. And then we get to your guy.
Yes.
Mark House versus Alex Payne. Alex Payne coming off a six-man scramble, I guess, match that he had won. Mark House, very angry at Excite Wrestling right now for the ranking.
Yes. Mark House is very upset with the way he was ranked in the top 10. But looking back on Mark House versus Alex Payne, I got to say this is a pretty interesting matchup, I got to say, because, I mean, what is the name of this card? Excite versus the World. And I believe that over the course of the past years, various Excite over the World, I believe Alex Payne, no, I don't believe, I know Alex Payne was once a member of Sideshow Pro, the very organization that tried taking down Excite Wrestling. And Excite Wrestling is my home. I am very disgruntled with Excite Wrestling. Okay, but quite frankly, nobody pisses on my carpet but me. And Alex Payne,
the dude just wants his carpet back.
Alex Payne in Sideshow Pro tried running amok over Excite Wrestling. They tried flipping Excite Wrestling upside down. And looking at where we are right now, that was then, this is now. Alex Payne has no Sideshow. Alex Payne is all by himself. And at coming off of his feud with Chainsaw Joe Gacy, you know, Alex Payne's kind of broken down. And, you know, Mark House is just going to pick apart at what's left. And
a lot of people saying that the victory that Mark House had over Axel Lennox, a controversial one with your involvement,
I don't know.
Could have hurt him a little bit. Nothing.
Again, you're just trying to stir the pot.
I'm just asking.
It always goes back to the past. It never goes back moving forward. All Mark House is focused on is Alex Payne right now.
Moving on. Jay Freddy will take on Alexander James.
And his beautiful gold boots.
Oh, my God. What a good gimmick this is. He gets in the ring, makes the referee help him get ready for the match. Good stuff. I like Alexander James. I like Jay Freddy a lot more. And I think the Binghamton crowd does too. So Jay Freddy going to bring it to Excite versus the World. Now, there's another match, six-man scramble. I can't even count. It even says Excite six-way scramble. Sozio versus Skyros versus Van Slyke versus Graham versus FX versus Napoleon. Spell his name right. This guy has a problem with how you spell his name. It's an O-N, not an A-N. This guy's got bigger things to worry about. Why is he not in the top 10?
Again, you know, you got to start crap with my guys.
I'm just asking,
we've
man.
We've already had this discussion, and then you're bringing it back.
I'm just trying to ask. So that is Excite versus the World, April 30th, Saturday night, April 30th, from American Legion Post, 8076 Main Street. Again, as I always say, you don't know where that is, hit the square button. Now
also, too,
yes.
I don't know if I was cutting you off. But
always.
But this show is going to have a very special 6 p.m. bell time with the doors opening at 4:30. So unlike our other shows, which usually start at 8 o'clock, this time we're starting at 6.
This is because Excite wants to actually get to the after party they're throwing. Is this right?
Again, I didn't go to the after party that night, but that's what I believe. But, hey, it happens. It happens, but the card's going to be sick.
Yeah, it is. Excite Wrestling, as we said. Now, before we get to Excite Wrestling, we've got April 1st, ECPW. ECPW making a lot of announcements this week.
Yes.
First, the big one for their East Stroudsburg show, and that is, of course, that Dasher Hatfield, Shakara star, will be making his debut for ECPW April 22nd in East Stroudsburg. What do you know about Dasher Hatfield?
Honestly, here's what I'm going to tell you about Dasher Hatfield. I don't know a damn thing about Dasher Hatfield other than the fact that I have seen this guy on so many freaking posters over the years through Facebook, Twitter, groups, you know what I mean, Instagram, that I obviously know the name and know the face because I've seen him so many times. And to me, that's the shit in wrestling that gets your attention. You know what I mean? It's the shit that stands out. And for whatever it was, you know, this guy, that all I knew is I thought this guy looked cool because he had a neat baseball gimmick and did it better than WWE could have ever done with Abe Knuckleball Schwartz.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it's going to be amazing to see him in action for the first time.
With moves like the Suicide Squeeze and the Grand Slam, he comes down to Glory Days by Bruce Springsteen. Definite baseball gimmick. Dasher Hatfield, hilarious in the ring. And like any Chikara star, really, he's a really fun guy to watch wrestle. And that's my observation of him in the ring. Outside the ring.
He defines the word fun. He debuted as a creative wrestler, a man without a gimmick who relied on fans to determine who he was on a weekly basis, which is kind of funny because that's how I always looked at El Generico.
Yeah, it's a good comparison. He went through several transformations, the Communist Bovine and Ultimo Breakfast. So with those two names, you know that this guy doesn't take his life too seriously. He's a great guy. He's really funny.
Ultimo Breakfast sounds so fucking awesome. So, I just want to see pictures of that.
So the thing is, the outside observation that I have is that I usually go to these shows with Gabe Sapolsky and sell merchandise and stuff for Evolve.
Right.
And we get set next to people that are, you know, the people, you know, wrestlers, different companies. Well, we got set next to Dasher Hatfield one time. And
he's got a
listen, look at, okay, hold on. So let me set this up. Okay. Well, hold on before we get to that, we sat next to him. And he's a great guy, great with kids. So if you have kids, you're listening to the show, bring them up to Dash Chatfield. They will definitely smile. Good dude. Now, as you said, you were trying to look for Ultimo Breakfast. I have found it. Can you please describe this?
It's something straight out of a Ren and Stimpy cartoon. It's amazing. He's got a mask that has a mohawk of toast.
Is that a toaster?
It is a toast hawk.
That is honestly a good way to describe it. That's a great
honestly,
way to describe
his ear kind of looks like it could be the little thingy that pulls that, you know, you push it down to make the bread go into the toaster. That's what pops up.
He's wearing eggs. It has eggs and bacon on his singlet. And look at this guy. I don't even know who this is. Okay.
It looks like somebody stole Coco Beware's freaking high energy
gear. Yes, exactly. That's what I was just saying. That's awesome. So Dasher
in the checkered pants, the checkered suspenders, and diamond on the side of his tights.
So Dasher Hatfield coming to ECPW April 22nd in East Stroudsburg. Get your tickets. They will be on sale. I believe it's Stand Up and Fight. So You can grab them, and you can grab them before as well. ECBW Stand Up and Fight Weekend is April 1st and April 2nd. April 1st, this is a hell of a wrestling weekend. April 1st, Stand Up and Fight, it is the WrestleMania for ECPW. It's a great show. They've already announced that Big Aaron Nasty is coming back to ECPW. More on that. And the 2nd will be in McAdoo, Pennsylvania at the Strand, which is rumored, word around the campfire, to be held up several band or rubber bands in the back. I'm not positive on that, but the 2x4s do look like they're coming off. So so come down before that thing falls down. That's the 2nd, and you'll be able to see Sean Carr take on Draven in a match that hasn't been able to happen in a long time. And that's the thing. ECPW is getting a lot of momentum right now. They're coming strong with re-signings and signings, and Big Aaron Nasty coming back. He hurt himself in Friendsville a couple of years ago, went out with an ACL injury. You know, behind the scenes, there was a little problems, so he didn't return. He's now returning. And I mean, I know you haven't hung around ECPW for a while, so I'll tell you, Big Aaron Nasty, a huge fan favorite at ECPW, and
well,
a former partner of Spike Norton.
Well, I will tell you, I know Big Aaron Nasty from seeing him in PPW a lot.
Yeah.
So that's honestly where I've gotten to, you know, shake his hand a lot and, you know, touch base and, you know, build a rapport with him professionally. So, I mean, I'm familiar with Big Aaron Nasty, so it'll be good to see him.
Good dude, too. So good to have him back.
And honestly, that's the thing. You're right. It's been a while since I've been around ECPW. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, just problems in the past that have since been resolved, and you know what I mean, moving forward, it's all about wrestling and our love for this business. And that's the thing, that's what I get out of this. I get to see faces I haven't seen in a while and whatnot. And you know, it's been good to talk to a lot of these you people, because I don't know who's listening to the show right now, you know what I mean? But that's the thing, it's been good to interact with a lot of people and just build upon, you know, mend fences, mend bridges, and go about our day. So it's been good, and it's going to be good to see, you know, a lot of people on April 1st. And I don't know what's going on the weekend of the McAdoo show, but if I'm able to make it down, I'd love to come down.
Well, you got a ride, homie, so there's that. So yeah, so you know, ECPW, I'm excited for it. We haven't had a show in a while. It's kind of a reset for ECPW, so I'm like I said, I'm really excited for Binghamton Wrestling, man. I mean, I really hate to be like that annoying positivity, but I mean, we got two promotions that are,
it's our home.
Yeah. And you got two promotions that are firing on all cylinders right now. I mean, you know, you got the people, the Excite fans I talk to a lot. They talk down of ECPW. Oh, well, you know, it's that, blah, blah. ECPW has had its problems. I'm not going to say it hasn't. I mean, I'm here to talk candidly, but I will say that as much as you want to knock them, you also have to give them credit, because they're coming back strong. The sign of Dasher Hatfield, they signed, as we reported in Three Ropes, Sean Carr, Axel Lennox, Nick Napoleon. They're bringing back Excite Wrestling guys that are currently on the roster.
Rob Cook, I met, you know, Rob Cook is coming back to the organization to face Little Batty C. And, you know, that's the thing. I mean, it's where you and I came from. And, you know, in a sense, you know, it's kind of like a family reunion for everyone that was ever a fan of 3DW.
That's the thing. And no disrespect to Excite. Excite uses
or
these guys amazingly. But a lot of people don't realize that that's a lot of those guys came from ECPW. So there's a lot of rivalries that are, you know, as I wrote about in the Spike Norton story, these rivalries are real. I mean, you can talk about, oh, well, they're trying to sell me a ticket right now. No, I'm telling you that you just have to look through Facebook and you have to see these two interact and you'll know that this shit is real. It's not, we're not joking. So April 1st is going to be amazing. I'm going to be a ring announcer. I'm sorry for my poor performance in the beginning.
You got scratch
up?
I do. Got a scratch up.
So I just bought these. I just felt these in my pocket.
Don't you love it when that happens? There's been so many times. Yeah. There's been so many times where I bought lotto tickets and like, I'll scratch them later and like stick them in my jacket pocket. And then I'll find them a week later and be like, oh, damn, I got scratch offs I forgot about.
Well, so what I got here is a win for life. I got two of them. So I'm going to scratch these off.
Oh,
now,
this is live.
Their score and your score, right?
Yeah.
So their score is always like 20.
Yeah. They always give you like a 3.
Or, yeah. And then, or if you get a 19, they'll get a 20.
Yes.
You're like, son of a bitch. So be prepared for that. So we're going to scratch them off. I always go their score first.
Yeah.
Just because I like to see.
You like to make an actual game out of it.
I'm like 12. All right, shit. They got a 12. That's a high number. It's a high number. I'm going to get an 11. I got a 10.
That's bullshit. Bullshit. See, me, when I buy tickets, I usually get the dollar tickets, and I usually buy 2 to 3 tickets at a time.
See, I got the $2 tickets. I bought 2.
Because
I missed out on $40 there.
Well, I'm usually good on the dollar tickets. I'll usually hit dollar tickets for like $10, $20. So even if I spend $3, hey, I made $7. Hey, I made $17.
All right. Their score, 9. My score, 4. Missed out on $2,500. Son of a bitch.
Now that was everything, or do you
no,
got
no, so now I get 3
games?
Of these. So now okay. I got to scratch all this off. And if I get 3 of a kind, I got a 5 and a 20. A 100 and a 10. Not looking good, Ian. Not looking good. A 20 and a life. Son of a bitch.
You know what I'm usually good on, too, is the holiday dollar tickets.
The holiday dollar tickets.
Yeah, because it's like, I don't know how they do it. I mean, they say it's the lottery. It's all random. But then again, I mean, we work in wrestling, so all I know, the freaking lottery could be a work. But, you know, I tend to feel that they put the new high money prizes with the new games.
I think so, too. I don't know. A lot of people have these strategies where they're like, okay,
because
so
old people,
when's the last time that you got a winner?
Because old people are dumb, and they have to get they have to have the routine and get the same shit every day, which is why the freaking Lucky Sevens has been around for like 20 years. You know what I mean? I got to get my Lucky Sevens.
I'm scratching off the second one here. I've got 2 lives and 2 100s, and that's it.
Damn it.
So now here's the deal. I've got 2 chances to win money here, and I'm not going to do it. I feel it. But one is worth $5, and one is worth $2,500.
Scott.
Stop the madness. All right.
Scott.
What?
Allow me an opportunity.
Oh, jeez.
To whisper some sweet nothings into your ear. Ah, that kiss. The next week on TV, I was standing by the curtain watching the show, as we all usually do. And Sean walked up behind me to look.
Son of a bitch.
And watch
lost
over,
by 2.
And watch over my head. As he inched closer to me, I could feel his hot breath warming the hairs on the back of my neck. Do you feel that? He whispered. That, he was referring to, was his hard dick, pressed firmly against my ass. Oh, yeah, I felt it all night, good and hard. Instantly, I was turned on. I was moist.
This is right from the book.
What red-blooded American girl wouldn't have been when the heartbreak kid pushes his erection up and gives you chills with his breath? That happened to be a small little excerpt from the Sunny book I bought last week.
Now, wait a minute. We need to talk Sunny.
Yes.
But we need to talk more in the line of filming. What is this you told me on the way over here today about the Sunny thing?
What?
The wrestlers. The different wrestlers.
Oh, I'll get to that in a second.
Oh, God.
I'll get to that in a
I'm
second.
I'm just making sure you get
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'm actually going to... I'm writing it down. On the
I was
going to
say, as you write it down. So you were not going there.
Right.
You lying sack of shit.
No, well, actually, I wasn't going to go there, but I mean, I am just talking about the book.
Okay, all right. I'll listen. I'm your student.
I am talking about A Star Shattered, The Rise and Fall and Rise of Wrestling Diva, Tammy Sunny Six.
The Rise and Fall and Rise.
Yeah. I downloaded this off the Google Play Store last week, and I got to say that it's...
How much?
$10.
Not bad.
I got it for $10. I mean, I'm not exactly too thrilled that it's only 142 pages.
Right.
I mean, considering like Bret the Hitman Hart's book's like almost 600 pages, and Mick Foley has like four different books all about his wrestling career. Jericho
fucking
has
$1.42 a page. Shit.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
God damn it, Sonny.
So it's
really
like,
are turning turns.
So it's like I feel this book, you know, could have been deeper.
Right.
But it seemed to be like the Cliff Notes version of what her book actually could have been, you know?
I get it.
Whereas like everybody, like all the other wrestling books that we love, like from like Bob Holly's to Jimmy Corderas's book to Jericho's to Bret Hart's, you know what I mean?
Bob Holly's was good.
I loved it.
Amazing.
My wife didn't like it.
It was like 500 pages.
My wife didn't like it too much because on the audio read aloud to my wife, it sounded like Bob Holly did nothing but complain.
Yeah.
But I told her, baby, it's a wrestling book. That's all they do is bitch and complain.
You ever talk to one of these guys in a locker room?
But, you know, I got to say, you know, it was worth the read. even though I feel it could have been a hell of a lot better. I mean, because she's like, she goes into some, you know, details with stories, but she doesn't go detail in stories. But it's it basically seems to be like a launch to her adult career, because that's how the book that's how she rises again. Is she announced that she signed a deal to make an adult film, and it should be out by the time this book releases.
Oh boy,
which just, you know, happened to be conveniently lined up with the way they dropped with the trailer and the video and now this. But, you know, overall, I gotta say, I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, you like reading wrestling books, Sonny's book definitely deserves to be on your collection. But, you know, it's kind of, you know, I don't know her. I can't judge her. You know, I could judge her like a mark and not know shit about shit and be talking about my ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But overall, it was definitely a good read.
I'll have to borrow that off you at some point.
And that's the thing. I mean, it's not exactly. I mean,
I want to hear that in audio too, like Sean's hard dick.
Unfortunately, I'm very disappointed. You know, it doesn't offer that option. It says read aloud unavailable, so I don't even get the sexy robot voice.
I want her reading her own book. I want, first of all, proof that she can read. Secondly, because she damn sure didn't write this, right? Now somebody else wrote it.
Well, she said she wrote it because the actual book, the prologue of the book starts off with her like being super excited because she's she lets you know right off the bat that she's, I mean, it starts off bruised, battered, broken ribs, busted lip. And she basically says that she's locked up in prison. And she's actually super excited because I guess she got her commissary privileges back and was able to purchase the notebook that she used to start writing this book.
Okay.
So that's how it starts with her in jail, and then the book keeps and the book keeps going back to her in jail reflecting on.
So she wrote this in jail.
Pretty much.
A little jail book from Sonny. Well, what an endorsement. I'll have to check that shit out.
Well, that's the thing.
I can only imagine the stories. And I know that she fucked Sean in Binghamton.
Do you know that for a fact?
I do. She admitted it in a podcast. She was like, yeah, in Binghamton specifically. I'm like, what? That's what made me be like, wait, what?
And then you're trying to hit rewind it. Like, what Raw was
it? Yeah, exactly. Well, we know what Raw it was, but that's another story.
What? Which one was it? No, was it?
I'm thinking Dirty.
Oh, no. Oh,
it had 90. To have been 90, like, in real, honestly, it had to be like 90.
You think it was the one where Brett and Austin had their freaking epic fight
probably,
in the ring?
Probably, yeah? To be honest, yeah. Because that was about the height of everything.
Because that's when Sean did that run-in with the chair and everybody ducked out.
And they were both at the top of their games physically, you know, speaking, good looks and everything. So I think that's probably about the time. Shawn Michaels is crazy ass eye. He probably wouldn't even see Sonny half the time to walk down the street doors, but that's another story. So we'll see. We'll see. I know a couple of people that know Sonny on a very personal level, and you know, I don't know. They say that she's you know, not understood, misunderstood. But you know, I don't know. Whatever. We all got our rap sheets. I've got my rap sheet. If you were to look at my sheet.
But at the same time, give her props. She's also done shit. She's also done more in her life than most people will ever amount to. So,
true.
I mean,
it's a lot easier to hate.
It's, yeah.
You know, so yeah, so the Sonny book, we talked about Excite, talked about ECPW. What we didn't talk about was March 19th, the WWE is coming to the Broome County Arena. Are you at all interested in this?
I'm not at all interested in it, just simply for the fact of I'm more excited about Twisted coming to Magic City Music Hall in April.
Yeah.
So I'd probably be saving my money for the Twisted show. But, you know, the thing is, I haven't went to WWE house shows in years, even though I went to the last WWE house show when they were in Binghamton. And the only reason I went to the last WWE house show, and this is pretty cool too, because this is a fun little story and gives me an opportunity to seriously publicly thank somebody. And that's a kid I know named Drew Kazir. Drew used to work at the Taco Bell with me. Drew was like, he was one of my managers. And, you know, to me as like a 36 year old guy, it's like kind of weird having to, you know, take orders from a 20-year-old kid.
Right.
And, you know, so it was like kind of funny. But at the same time, Drew was always respectful and cool with me. He always called me boss and whatnot. You know what I mean? So it was, and he was fun to work with. And last year when, you know, everything was going bad with, you know, Julia and whatnot. And, you know, we were dealing with her stuff. You know, Drew saw, like, you know, when I was working it there, and like with how I had, I'd have to, the only time I ever called into that job was when it was, when it affected, was when it was affected by Julia's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like if she got upset and ran away from home and I got to deal with trying to get her back home, and I'm dealing with Binghamton police trying to kid, you know what I mean? I don't need to have my ass chewed apart by a friggin' Taco Bell boss. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And Drew is always understanding about that stuff. Meanwhile, you got kids that are calling in because they're underage and too high or drunk or whatnot. And, you know, Drew always gave me that, you know, he was understanding when it came to what I was dealing with on a daily basis with my kid. And, you know, the last time WWE came into town, Drew came at me one day and he was like, "Hey, what are you doing on blah, blah, blah?" He goes, "Do you have any wrestling shows you're going to?" And I'm like, "No, not that I know of." And he's like, "Okay, because you, me, and your two youngest kids are gonna go to the WWE show."
That's cool.
I'm gonna take you and your kids to the WWE show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was like kind of shocking, mind blowing, because this kid that I don't even know, you know, took it upon himself to take me and my kids to a wrestling show because he loved wrestling too. And, you know, to this day, that's like one of the nicest things anybody's ever done for me.
Right.
Because it's with how shitty everything was last year, you know, that was like one happy day. And with the way it worked out was Owen's not really into wrestling. My son doesn't really like it that much.
Right.
So, but my daughter Natalia does. So, you know, and, you know, given the situation of when the WWE show and Julia just got home from a stay in a behavior clinic, you know what I mean? It was a nice opportunity to have a good day with Julia.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to take Julia and Natalia to the WWE show. And it was pretty cool because I actually got to see, like, for the first time in a long time, WWE's current live show experience. And I got to say, you know, for being in, you know, coming from the days of just having superstars walk through a black curtain,
mm-hmm.
you know, now they actually had like a little mini version of the Titantron in the Raw stage present that they came out from. And, you know, it was some good matches. You know, there was, I'm trying to think exactly what all the matches were, but I know it was like Roman Reigns versus the Big Show in a cage. It was, I think it was Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton.
It was last year.
Yeah,
it was Seth Rollins and Randy Orton in the main event.
Yeah. And it was really good. It was kind of cool. Cause I remember they had Los Matadores there.
Yep.
And they actually worked heel, or no, they worked heel, but El Torito worked babyface. So it was kind of funny because they kept turning on on El Torito. Like, they actually sent him to the back and got booed for, like,
really?
Yeah. They like told him to go to the back, and when he's walking away, like, Fernando would like kick him in the ass and whatnot. It was kind of funny. But yeah, Sheamus beat Dolph Ziggler, R-Truth defeated Stardust, Lucha Dragons defeated Los Matadores, Jimmy Uso defeated Brad Maddox.
You prick.
Huh?
Do you remember how Brad Maddox got hit fired?
Yeah.
He used the word prick.
Yep.
WWE, but the boss, Vinnie Mac, says the F word like 100 million times on USA.
And now
USA.
He's on the Indies as Mad Braddock.
Yeah, Brad.
But Ryback defeated Bray Wyatt, which was pretty cool. I got to say, it was pretty cool seeing Bray Wyatt live and being able to, like, you know, take part, be a buzzard for the night and hold
you
up.
You know what? That arena can get pretty dark, too. It's really cool. Like, cause you know, a lot of these new, and you're like, yeah, duh, just shut the lights off. But no, there's a lot of these new arenas, and I don't know if you follow Big Time Wrestling, but they had a killer weekend. Holy Christ. They drew like a couple thousand in Spartansburg, South Carolina, but they just made a new theater out there, and how all the new buildings are is there. And it's great if you're a spectator, they're just all glass. Right. And it's like the whole thing is glass. So if you get a matinee show, which the WWE usually brings to one of these newer arenas, you're going to have a lot of light go through that glass. You're going to have a different experience. The WWE comes to Binghamton, the Broome County Veterans Memorial Arena was built in like 1965, I think.
Right.
And they didn't have that new. It's very concrete. It's very basic.
Yep.
It's very dark.
And old and legendary.
Yeah. And it really lends itself to a gimmick like Bray Wyatt. That's what I'm trying to say.
And also, too, it was Emma and Charlotte defeated Alicia Fox and Layla, which is kind of funny because Layla wound up retiring, never going to see her again. Honestly, if there's any diva I kind of got the hots for right now, it's kind of Foxy. Just throwing
it out
there.
Alicia Fox.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
But it was kind of cool seeing, you know, Charlotte live. You know what I mean? Because she's, look where she's at now, and that was a year ago. So yeah, it was definitely a really good show that Drew took me to last year. And you know what I mean? That's the thing. He doesn't know me. He didn't have to do that. So it's just a thanks, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Cool, dude.
Yeah, that out of nowhere, you know, you gave me an opportunity to have a wonderful moment with my two daughters. And with all the bullshit from last year, it was nice to have a good day with no fighting, no arguing, nothing. And it was good. I can never repay him for that right now because he moved. He's in like North Dakota right now. He moved in
a weird state to move to.
Oh, he and his girlfriend packed their shit and they moved. They moved last year. So started a new life. They got the hell out of Bing. They were able to fucking escape.
Yeah. So, some of us escape and then come back. Oh, here's the thing. In Binghamton, WWE 2016 Superstar VIP Experience Package will be there. It's a ton of money. I think the shit's like $250 to $300. You get a premium ringside seat, which is a steel chair.
Yep.
One meet and greet and autograph opportunity with WWE Superstars.
And,
one,
you know,
exclusive.
It's probably going to be like, you know, Curtis Axel. You're hoping to meet freaking Bray Wyatt. And again,
Hornswoggle.
Yeah.
One exclusive limited edition 2015 WWE event chair. Oh, that's okay. So the premium ringside seat is actually just your seat at the arena.
Yeah.
But you will get a steel chair.
But you get to take it home.
Two exclusive WWE merchandise items. One limited edition 2015 autograph book.
Your two exclusive merchandise items are probably going to be a special event specific hat and a shirt.
Probably. One souvenir VIP drawstring bag. Just a typical WWE merchandise bullshit.
So you can
venue
put all
parking.
Your stuff in. It's going to be empty.
Venue parking.
It's not like a gift bag from the Oscars.
Crowd-free merchandise shopping area and an on-site greeter. Crowd-free merchandise.
I like how they have a little asterisk. You have a crowd-free merch shopping area, but you better have money because none of this shit's for free.
Right, exactly. Superstars attending the meet and greet will vary from time to date.
Yeah.
Whoever is not hungover from the night before.
Yesterday's John Cena, tomorrow's Hornswoggle.
In all seriousness, this is a cool show to go to. If you like AJ Styles, he is set and advertised for the show to be at the Broome County Arena. Roman Reigns, Chris Jericho, and Sheamus have also been kind of the three headliners. Dean Ambrose and Natty Neidhart, as well as we just mentioned Charlotte.
Which means that'll probably be the match, Natty versus Charlotte.
It probably will, yeah.
Which honestly, it's kind of weird. I kind of want to go now because honestly, my daughter Natalia loves fucking Natalia Neidhart. And
well,
it's funny
of course.
It's because Natalia's like, okay, it's well known that Owen was named after Owen Hart.
Mm-hmm.
But Natalia was not purposely named after Natalia Neidhart.
Really? I thought that was it.
No, it's actually just a coincidence after the fact that Natalia Neidhart, Owen Hart, and whatnot. But Natalia is convinced. And Natalia is not taking no for an answer. Natalia is saying, no, I was named after Natalia Neidhart. So now Natalia Neidhart is her favorite wrestler. Just on a default, they got the same name.
I love that. A little difference between the WWE shows in Syracuse on Friday, March 18th, and the night after in Binghamton on the 19th. We just listed all of the guys. Now, not listed for Binghamton is Bray Wyatt, United States Champion Kalisto, Alberto Del Rio, Kane, the Dudleys, or the Usos. None of them. And here's the thing. When WWE had that lawsuit, they had to identify A, B, and C cities. And Binghamton is a very hard C city.
Yeah.
B plus, actually, is an A, a B plus, a B, a C, and a D. Binghamton is like a C. Syracuse is a B plus. They get all the better wrestlers. And I remember, like, when I was younger, I was wondering why, and I never cared because I didn't like Hulk Hogan, but I always wondered why Hulk Hogan ever came to the arena.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he ended up doing that in Nitro or WCW or whatever, Thunder, I think it was.
Yeah.
But we always got the Ultimate Warrior versus the Undertaker, and we're like, whoa, what the hell is that? And I always wanted that match more as a kid, so I wasn't pissed. But it's because they rank these different cities and these different wrestlers, and sometimes we don't get to see all the guys.
That night in Binghamton when Hogan was here for WCW was the night I almost ran over the Insane Clown Posse.
What?
That's a shoot.
You did?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's a fun story from Ian Daddy Bones back in 1999. Now, mind you.
2000, actually.
No.
February 2nd, 2000. Don't tell me no.
Okay, well, I'm talking about, okay, then my story isn't a 2000 show. My story takes place in 1999.
Okay.
Whenever they were in Binghamton in August of 99. Can you find that?
August of 99.
All I know.
Binghamton, New York.
Yes. Don't take out the thunder.
Okay.
Just do WCW.
Okay.
Okay, here's the story, because I know it was.
Here we go.
When I know it was July. It was August 99, because I know July of 99 was when I came home from the Air Force.
You're right. I found it.
All right. When I came home from the Air Force and came back to Bing, I started working at Boscov's.
It's a Saturday night taping.
And
they have no results. This is the only one they don't have results for.
And when I was working at Boscov's, I was living with my dad, because I just came home from the Air Force. So working at Boscov's, living with my pops. And I have a cousin from Florida that comes into town, and he happened to mention to my dad one night while we were out at a bar that he was looking for some smoke, okay, and wondered if he knew, and my dad knew where he could find some. And my dad's like, I haven't done that in years. I wouldn't know the first place to try and get that for you. So my dad comes to me and he goes, hey, I was wondering if you could do me a favor. I'm like, what? He goes, your cousin's looking for some smoke. So I was wondering if you could possibly help him out. I'm like, so let me get this straight. For the first time in my life, you're actually coming to me and asking me if I know where to get this for you, for him. He goes, yeah. And I go, you're not messing with me, are you? And he's like, no. So I talked to my cousin, and my cousin's like, yeah, I'm just looking to get like something small, something literally small.
Right.
So I'm like, okay. So, I take the keys of my dad's car, and me and my cousin go downtown to my one buddy's house. And as we're driving down State Street, where the Grand Royale is,
right,
and Flashbacks, we're driving down there because I need to go.
Heart of the Binghamton drinking public.
Because I need to go over to the west side. Mm-hmm. So I'm going down State Street to take that right on the main in Court. And I happen to see the Insane Clown Posse's tour bus for the Amazing Jekyll Brothers parked outside the Grand Royale. Now, I mean, it's no secret that I consider myself a juggalo. I listen to Insane Clown Posse. I listen to Twisted. I listen to all them, that type of music and guys on their label. And, you know, I don't paint my face every day and whoop, whoop everybody I see in an ICP shirt. But, you know, I like the music. So I'm like, holy shit, you know, but this is like back when I first got into it. So I'm like marking out. I'm like, oh my God, what the hell are they doing in town? I didn't know ICP was coming in town. This is some bullshit. I hope there's not a show going on right now, because I wish I would have gotten tickets for this. So I stop marking out because the light turns green, and me and my cousin go to head over to my buddy's house. And, you know, lo and behold, my buddy's not home. So I'm unable to help out my cousin. So we decided to call it a night and go back to my house. And as we're driving down State Street on the way home, I'm kind of pissed off because I wasn't able to help my cousin. And, you know, I'm driving a little faster than normal. And then I'm driving down State Street, and my cousin's like, hey, man, you may want to slow down. The speed limit says it's only 15 through here. And I was going like 30.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I'll be good. And he goes, well, you may want to slow down. There's people crossing the street ahead. And I'm like, oh, fuck it. They'll move. And then we start getting closer, and then two of the guys look at me, and then I freaking realize it's freaking Shaggy Two Dope and the Rude Boy, because it was three of them walking across the street. It was Violent J, Shaggy, and the Rude Boy. And I'm like, holy shit. And then I freaking went into the far right lane, and I rolled my window down as we drove by them, and I'm like, whoop, whoop, and threw my arm out, and freaking, but they all just threw their arms up in the air. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
Binghamton, they were headed over to one of the bars.
Yeah, so it was like holy crap. Yeah, because they were walking from the arena diagonally, like past like towards that parking garage area, is where their bus was. So.
I know if anybody wants scoops, I know that the YMCA over there in Binghamton, right by the arena, is where all the guys, work out when they're in Binghamton.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Dillinger's is also a definite hotspot for, and honestly, Dillinger's is a hotspot only because it's the closest thing. So, you know, if you're looking to get,
you would think the bar in the Holiday Inn Arena,
yeah,
would be the closest thing.
Right. Yeah, I know they
but
stay
again,
over there.
But then again, that's too obvious.
Sometimes they stay there and sometimes they don't. It's weird, the WWE, because sometimes
on their
they'll
schedule, because usually if they have like the show the next night in Syracuse, they'll just drive straight.
Well, they have a show the next night, and that would be Monday in Philly for Raw. And normally the guys, at least the ones that I've known, get down there early. So I don't know. Sometimes they sleep over, sometimes they don't. But if you want to try to check them out, YMCA during the day.
And that's a cool thing too, because like with me and Amber working up at the airport. Like on type of shit like that, like they got that show on a Friday, you said?
No, they have a show on a Sunday,
okay.
March 19th.
All right. Well, either way, if they stay overnight and they fly out Monday morning, then they'll probably be taking their rental cars back to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So, and don't get me wrong, Amber sees WWE superstars all the time.
Really?
She's out there. Yeah, I've never worked a shift where they.
Who else does she see? Anybody? Do people come into Binghamton?
Huh?
Do people come into Binghamton? Who else does she see? She see wrestlers?
She's met Kane. She's met Matt Hardy. She's met Rey Mysterio, which she honestly has a super crush on. And Amber's always had the hots for Rey Mysterio.
Hey, don't worry, Amber. She wears the mask at all times.
but she's met superstars that came in. She's met Ziggler. She's met Cody Rhodes, I believe. And it's funny because I actually wound up making Cody Rhodes a burrito at Chipotle one time.
Really?
Yeah. I was working a Sunday shift at Chipotle one time a couple of years ago when frickin' WWE had a house show. And I'm working the line that night and I was the guy that just frickin' put the burrito on the press and whatnot and first interacted with.
But this is Cody's burrito.
First interact with people. And I'm just like, hey, what's going on? Hey, how are you? And whatnot.
Holy shit, you're Stardust.
No, actually, that was before the start.
Holy shit, you're a tight wearing Cody Rhodes.
You're dashing.
You're
look
gimmickless. Okay. Well, should we wrap this thing up?
Definitely.
All right. Fine. You're done talking to me. Binghamton Throat Punch. Is there anything else that we need to say? There's a couple things I wanted to get out. First, Glenn Post finally listened to a couple of our shows.
Yes.
And got around to it. So thanks, Glenn. We really appreciate that. And he was really touched with all the support that we've given over here. So
yeah,
that's
I'm
awesome.
I'm so glad he's doing well, recovering fine, and he's back to being himself.
Yep. So there's that. Jim Holbert wrapped a couple of matches for ECPW Hudson Valley. So look for the picture of his crazy ass face. And his hair is just all messed up. He had a hell of a night.
Oh, Jimmy looking all sweaty and tired.
Yeah, he was his hair was everywhere, you know, whatever. And also, sad note, just wanted to throw out support for wrestler Corey DeMoyer, LDC, lost a friend. We've all been there, so we're really
honestly,
thinking about him.
And honestly, I remember when we first got into the business. I actually remember it was DCPW's first Sydney show, where it was actually a tribute for one of Corey's friends that passed away back in the day. So, I mean, I've been around Corey when I've seen him lose somebody close to him. And, you know, this is like the third major person that I've known, you know, including Spike, that has passed around Corey. And, you know, yeah, my heart goes out to him to the fullest.
Yeah, we've definitely, you know, some of us have been there, some of us haven't, some of us have, no, so it sucks. But we hope that, thoughts and prayers go out to Troy Vandermark, who lost his life too early. So we're thinking about Corey, and we're thinking about Glenn. So thank you, Glenn, for fighting the battle, the good fight. We hope to see him at Stand Up and Fight. He says he might be. And Jim Holbert's trying to get him on 5 questions, so. I'm never awake at noon, Scott. Like, okay, Glenn.
Set an alarm.
Glennie. Don't call me Glennie.
God, Glennerson. If you could frickin' TiVo the frickin' morning lineup of the Disney Channel, he could set an alarm to frickin' be in a throat punch.
Well, We'll see. We're trying to get.
And I'm excited too because OGPC. No, the new Ian Daddy Bowen shirts are going to be in today.
Oh yeah, you mentioned that cheap plug.
Yes, cheap plug. Throw me $20. I got them in large, extra large, and double XL for you fatties.
Where can I? I'm a fatty. Where can I? Where can I get this thing?
Honestly, the easiest way to get an OGPC shirt is to you can go to my website originalgeekspodcast.com. There's a PayPal button. If you click on the PayPal button, you can donate, throw me $20, and there's a comment section where you can put your, you know, you can drop me a line and say, hey, Ian, I want an extra large. I want a large. You know what I mean? And that's just going to, you know, the easiest way to do it other than if you come out to wrestling shows and see me, you could get a shirt there. And, you know, that's my whole goal and intention with doing the merch. You know, I'm not trying to put cash in my pocket. I mean, I am in a way, but I'm kind of treating my T-shirts like legal drugs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Buy my batch of shirts, sell my shirts, use my money, re-up, get new shirts. And that's the thing. I mean, everything I order is going to be in a limited batch. So like the first shirts are going to be like a light lavender purple with the black Ian Daddy Bones logo skull that Big Drew Graphics just did. And, you know, the second batch of shirts is going to be like orange. At some point, I'm going to do lady shirts because I got some female friends that are like, oh, it'd be kind of cool if I had like spaghetti straps and it was pink and it.
You want a thong, baby?
I can do them
too.
We
can print those.
So that would be amazing.
For your show, it would.
But I'm also in the process of doing buttons, doing hats. So it's all going to a good place. And, you know, hopefully soon. We keep hitting the mic. Hopefully soon, we'll be able to do the same for the Throat Punch and Binghamton Throat Punch shirt.
It's around the corner.
Definitely.
And yeah, it really is around the corner. We have a lot of talking to do over here about some stuff. Hey, did you see the merchandise for Rottmare? See those little wrestling buddies?
Yes, those are absolutely amazing.
That's sick. Already ordered one for the studio.
Yeah.
Yep. So that'll be over here. So
$12.
Yep, $12. Best $12 I ever spent. It's really good. Really good quality, everything. So it'll be cool to get the Rottmare plush to add to our little operation over here as we continue to grow.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm Ian Daddy Bones.
All right, and I am Scott Fino.
And this has been the Binghamton Throat Punch. See you next week.
This has been a presentation of the Three Ropes Media Network. For more, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/ThreeRopes or visit us at threeropes.com.